Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Are you serious?
Hello, this is How to Kill an Hour. My name is Marcus Bronzy, and on today's show, I'm joined by... Well, bruv, I'll let you introduce yourself to the gang, man.
Yo, what's going on? It's Nick Bright, back again, in the words of troops from AFTV. It's been a minute, man. How are you?
I'm all good, man. I'm all good. I've been cracking on with things. This podcast is going out in a little bit, but watch the England match recently, Nick. I know you're a guy that's into your sports. Wasn't that exciting, was it?
Do you know what? I'm going to be completely honest with you. I didn't even watch it.
That it was that bad. You just turned it off, Nick.
Do you know what it is? The England match, as we record this, the latest one happened yesterday. And yeah. It was the same day as the Formula One. The first race of the new season in Formula One kicked off yesterday. So obviously, man, I had to watch that. Lewis Hamilton do the damn thing.
Bruv. Did his job, right?
Yeah, of course. Yeah. Especially because... Sorry for anyone who doesn't like Formula One or sport, but put it this way, he was second on the grid at the start of the race behind the guy who's got allegedly got the fastest car this season, and then he managed to get past him through some pit stop strategies, and in the last kind of five or six laps, this guy was on Hamilton's arse, like you know when you're looking in the rear view mirror when you're on a motorway or something and someone is basically sitting in your back seat. That is what it was in a Formula One car going, you know, hundreds of mile an hour. So yeah, Hamilton managed to like hold him off and win the race. It was gassy.
He's insanely talented, like in terms of like his level of racing, like you said, like he's not in the fastest car, and really you'd think that 90% of that job is making sure that you got the fastest car. Do you know what I mean? Insane.
I mean, to be fair, he normally is in the fastest car. Let's just point that out. Like, it's just because this is the first race of the new season. And Red Bull, the team that Max Verstappen races for, they've had a better off-season, clearly, and developed a faster car. But it all gets evened out, you know, because they're developing all the time and they're changing things all the time. After every single race, they look at the data that gets fed back to the factories, and then they change the aerodynamics. As long as it's within the regulations, they'll change the aero for the next race. And put it this way, Mercedes are probably going to end up having the fastest car because they have for the past bloody 5 years or something mad like that. So it'll probably continue.
But money is a good helping factor when you are doing F1. And let's be honest, Red Bull have got money, you know? They have got dough.
But Mercedes have got dough as well. you're saying like Red Bull are racing like me. You know what I mean? Me and you have decided to start a team and we've somehow lucked out with the fastest car. They're racing Mercedes, bro.
Oh man, before we get into the tech and stuff, what have you been up to recently, Nick?
You know, just a lot of sitting around, not doing a lot because we've all still been in this flipping lockdown in the UK. But one of the nice things that's happened as of late is the new Line of Duty started. Although I've got to be honest, haven't even watched any of it because I can't do this week-to-week thing anymore. I cannot do it. You know, like watching a program and then having to wait a week for the next episode. Like, I refuse. I point blank refuse to live like I'm in the 90s still. So I would sooner wait for the whole thing to have been on telly so I can binge it when I want.
Yeah. I can't even lie, Nick. I'm exactly the same. I have no urge to get out there and tease myself with a measly 60 minutes of drama.
And on top of that, it's like, like you say, you're teasing yourself only a measly 60 minutes, and then they like end it all. They always end it so epically. You know, what we've got used to now is like an episode ends epically, and then you've only got to wait 20 seconds unless you click the next yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you've only got to wait 20 seconds for that next hit.
Mm.
They want me to wait 7 days. What do they think this is?
Get out of here, mate. Get out of here. And also, come on, let's look at it. The Snyder Cut, right, of Justice League. He could have done that. He could have chopped it up into little bits, but instead he said, no, hear what? Take all 4 hours of it in one go.
And that deserves a round of applause, does, because, you know, that's what it's all about, you know? You just throw a round of applause on that right there.
Thank you very much.
Because nobody wants to wait around. I'm surprised so many people are doing it. I mean, don't get me wrong, a lot of people that watch Line of Duty are probably a bit older, stuff like that. It's on the BBC.
Mm-hmm.
But me, I saw that it was coming out week to week and I said, forget it, bro.
Forget it. So we won't be talking about Ben Coppers for a few weeks on the show.
Ben Coppers!
Ben Coppers!
As he would say. Sorry to everybody in Northern Ireland who might hear this and is extremely offended by my terrible Northern Irish accent.
Oh, mate, trust me. Do you know what I want to do, Nick, though? Actually, with Line of Duty, I do want to play the Line of Duty bingo, where you got to take like a sip of your drink every time they say Ben Coppers. And when they say like AC-12...
If it's AC-12, you'll be smashed, mate. You know what I mean? Hastings, the main dude, always says "Mother of God," doesn't he? When he finds stuff out, he's "Mother of God."
Mother of God.
Yeah, like he's got some excellent one-liners. Actually, I saw an interview that he did on Breakfast TV, and he said that even though he's Northern Irish himself, and obviously he brings a lot to the table with, you know, the sayings and the colloquialisms. They kind of just asked a load of people in Belfast what are some kind of great family sayings that you've heard through the years, and then they kind of plucked out the ones they liked the most, and that's where all his kind of mad, I don't know what you call them, I guess sayings is the only word I can think of, but where his kind of mad things come from. It's that they're actual things that people say in Belfast. There you go.
Research does the job. Yeah, you know what, bruv? I love it, mate. I love it. I'm here for it. So I'm ready to get into some Line of Duty, but not just yet. I did watch the Justice League Snyder Cut. I don't know if you have.
Come and educate me. Come on, tell me why I should.
Well, I watched Batman versus Superman. This is before Justice League. And I've said many a time on How to Kill an Hour that I feel that the guys at DC were seeing what Marvel was doing and they tried to rush it. And I was like, don't rush it. Like, it took years for us to get from the original X-Men. Yeah. Then when we started having our actual kind of generations of real Marvel heroes, the build up was years, and like over 10 years, basically, for us to get to Thanos clicking his fingers. Right.
Yeah.
So with DC, it was like they really rushed into it. And then I was like, with Batman versus Superman, I was like, oh, I don't know about this. Wonder Woman was all right. It's all right. And then all of a sudden, Justice League, I'm like, hang on, you're giving us all of the guys working together, but we've not got any backstory. So I kind of have said a few times that I felt like DC should flatten the whole lot and just go again. Start again. Give us some origin films and we'll crack on from there. And with Justice League, I feel like the Snyder Cut really took time to just give us backstories of other characters. He did some cool stuff in there, like made the special effects a bit better. But what you get is you just get a bit more of all the other characters. Like, you see more of what they're about, so they don't come across as idiots or silly or just grumpy for no reason. So I liked it, man. And what I found funny was I liked it on Twitter, and loads of people were like, oh, it's so long, man. Actually, no, I actually asked for 4-word reviews. People were like, it's too long, man. It was too long. I was like, you know, we're watching this at home, all of us, on our own.
And in lockdown as well. Yeah. It's like, come on, guys, surely you want to, it can't be long enough for me. You know what I mean? Like, when at the minute, when there's not really anything to do and we're all just kind of sitting around hunting for things to do, the longer the better.
And also, right, if it really does feel too long, do what I did. I took a little break halfway through. Went and had a little cup of tea, had some biscuits, a lot of biscuits, and then came back and watched the rest of it. Some people were like, it was a slog to get through. I was like, I don't. How are you going to let your TV run your life? You run your TV.
It was a slog to get through. Yeah. I've got sitting around doing nothing to get on with. You know, I can't sit around being entertained. I need to sit around just staring at the wall.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. But it was good. I enjoyed it, and it was just a good example of how visions can change a lot in Hollywood. You don't realize the final cut that you get to see of a film sometimes is an hour and a half, where the original director might have left 3 hours there and the studios come in and said, nah, sorry, mate, this has got to be a 90-minute job. Or just a few people might make a decision like, oh, yeah, we don't like that joke, leave it out. Do you know what I mean? Like, there are a couple of quips in there. Like, I'll tell you this joke because it won't spoil the film. I think The Flash says something to Batman about, like, what's your superpower? And like, he goes, I'm rich. And I was like, I love that joke, man. That's a bit a bit whack, innit? Like, or like, Batman buys, instead of like, this will spoil it if I don't say it right, somebody loses something and instead of buying it back, he buys, like, how do I play? It's like, for example, say, like, you lived in a house, or you say you rented a room in a house, right? Or let's say you bought a flat, right, in a block.
Yeah.
You lose the flat in the film, right? I buy the whole block of flats at the end of the film and give you your flat back. No point, is there? Just buy back your flat. Makes no difference. So he does a few things like that where I'm like, no, they need to stop gassing about the money thing here with Batman. But other than that, good film, man. Ben Affleck even came off a bit better as well, and I didn't really like the Batfleck. So, yeah, it was all right.
I DC movies, I've not been a massive fan of them. Obviously, Marvel has smashed it with so many of their movies. You know, even if you're not the biggest Marvel fan and you haven't seen it in the right order and blah, 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 I feel like you can dip in and out of certain movies. Mm. But Joker, I feel like, for me, is one of my favourite DC films. One of my favourite films, actually, that I've seen in a long while. I just thought it was a great movie, to be honest with you. So, and I know it's not part of the extended DC universe, is that right? Because I've got to be honest with you and the listeners, Marcus, I'm not as brushed up on the Marvel DC stuff as you, but I think I
Joker
heard
standalone,
somewhere.
You're right, standalone. Yeah,
Joker is not part of the... Yeah, it's a bit like... who's the funny Marvel one? What's his name?
Deadpool.
Oh my God, it's Deadpool. Yeah, he's not part of the Marvel cinematic universe, is he?
He's not. Technically, but he's not, because he's so X-rated. I don't think Disney are going to let him drift over into films and be his usual self.
It's so mad how, like, some of it is and some of it isn't. Like, and I get it for the kind of heads that are listening to this right now, the DC heads, the Marvel heads. They're like, bro, you're so dumb. How don't you get it? Blah blah blah. But trust me, bare people think like me. Loads of people are like, why is this person not in the with the others? Like, I don't understand. But I apologize to all of you out there that are swearing right out loud right now, but a lot of people think like that, trust me. why are they left out, man? Joker seems cool. he just seems like he's got a few problems. Just like, put your arm around him and let him join the crew. You know what I mean? Maybe he wouldn't be so messed up then.
Well, the Joker that's part of the Justice League universe, actually, Jared Leto, he gets a little bit of a
shine. Didn't work for my joke though, but you know, I did know there was another Joker. I did know that, but didn't work for my joke.
Can imagine they listen to that. Oh my days! Slamming their AirPods on the table. Disrespect. So even Jared's touch is a bit better. I still think, long story short, I don't think he's the best Joker. I did love, you know, Joaquin's Joker. That was insane. But do you know what I think is with DC, man? Be dark. Like Avengers has got the light, the kind of kid friendly stuff. Go dark. Go where there's space. Yeah. You get me? And so we'll see. Maybe there'll be some more Snyder Cut style things. I don't know. Everyone's saying they don't know what's gonna happen, but the reality is we're in lockdown and we need more content to be out there. So, you know, clearly I think if lockdown didn't happen, then we might not have been seeing the Snyder Cut ever. Do you know what I mean? Like, do you know, speaking of cuts, this is such a weird one, right? Do you know there's an R-rated version, or should we say like an 18 version of Mrs. Doubtfire, apparently, that was made? Mad, filthy jokes in there. Yeah, apparently, like, there's outtakes where Robin Williams was doing loads of really, like inappropriate, but like dirty jokes. But there's
But that doesn't surprise
swearing.
Me, you know, based on the humour that Robin Williams has, you know, or had, I should say. But yeah. I've not heard this before. I would actually love to watch that.
Bruv, people are saying that there was a cut of it. Will it ever come to light? Who knows? But I would love to see that, like a naughtier version of Mrs. Doubtfire. It might be great.
Come on.
Might spoil it.
Get your people to phone the people and get them to drop that.
Drop that.
You're
a powerful dude,
Marcus. You know what I mean? You know, you've got connections everywhere. So
I got us a Snyder Cut. I had to threaten ruining the whole DC universe by flattening it. And that's how we got the Snyder Cut, which brought us back. So, yeah, of course, man.
See
no
what
problem.
I mean? That's what I'm saying. We call Marcus Thanos in the bits, you know? My guy can just go click and just destroy everything if he wants to.
Make it happen. Podcasts don't exist anymore. Anyway, enough shit chatting from me. Right, so a bit of tech that we've got our hands on for our killer bit this week is a microphone that we both tried out. You may be a keen listener of the show and realise that I sound a little bit different today. That is because I'm using said microphone. Nick Bright has also used said microphone as well, and this microphone is the Shure MV7 mic. It's come from a company, Shure, who is fair to say a market leader in terms of microphones that are for studio quality, radio quality. If you've watched a podcast or seen clips of radio shows like Breakfast Club or whatever, the black microphone that you'll see them using is the SM7B from Shure, right, Nick?
Yep, that's the microphone I'm using right now, in fact.
Yep, it's the microphone we usually use here for How to Kill an Hour, and I think using Shure mics, even when I was doing club work, I always use like a SM58, which doesn't matter if you know what the number of the mic is. It's just a mic that I knew was going to work. It's robust and it does the job, basically. So when Shure came along and said, like, do you and Nick Bright want to try out the MV7? I was like, cool, what is the MV7? And they were like, it's this USB mic, or it can be plugged in like a normal mic, and it's kind of here to make podcasting easier. I was like, sure, send it over. And let's try it out.
See what you did there. Sure.
Didn't even mean to do that there.
Sorry.
You're
trying to actually talk about something important and I'm just thinking of puns. But carry on.
That's all right. Well, you got your hands on it as well, though, didn't you, Nick? So what was it like for you, man?
I did. So I actually used it for a professional job, which sounds funny because I'm not really a professional guy, as many of you can tell, but I do the voiceover for the MTV charts. So whenever if you watch MTV in the UK, you'll hear a chart show. That's me voicing it from this very room, on this very microphone, in this very seat. But I did, because I had to be in two different places, obviously I can't take my full setup. On Thursday I was in one place, and on Friday I was going to be in another place, and they split the record over 2 days, so obviously you have to use the same microphone, otherwise it will sound different. So I was like, right, well, this is the perfect opportunity for me to try out the MV7, because obviously it's the whole point of it is it's a USB mic, USB-C lead. There's also a regular USB lead in there as well, in the box. You can just plug it straight in. It's plug and play. There's a little bit more functionality that you can do with it, which I'm sure you'll get into, Marcus, because you've got it in front of you. But like for my voiceover, it was fine. The guys were happy at MTV once I sent them the voiceover, and the fact that I recorded in two different locations, and although there will probably be a little bit of acoustic difference, unless you are really, really listening, you won't be able to tell. I thought it handled things very, very well, to be honest. And we should point out as well that it is literally built on the SM7B, which is the microphone I'm using right now, a traditional XLR microphone, whereas the MV7 is a USB mic but also has XLR functionality, so it can double up and it can be used like a traditional microphone, or it can be used USB straight into your laptop, which is cool. It's built to kind of mimic this one. It's like a mini SM7B in a way. It's the same shape, it's a little bit smaller, but you can control it on top of the microphone. But the one thing I will say about it that I feel like could be improved, the thing that the SM7B is so good at is handling plosives, like when I have a
yeah, wee. Nick pees onto a microphone, SM7B handles it so much better.
I've never tested that. It could do. It might. You know, we can't say whether it does or it doesn't. We just don't know the answer. But, you know, if I say, I don't know, Peter Piper picks and peppers, like this can handle it really, really well. Yeah. Whereas I found the MV7 struggled a little bit with that for me.
Yeah, man. And like, look, I'm using it now, so you can pick it out when I'm doing my little P's and plosives when I'm actually talking, and you can kind of listen out for that for yourself. And I think that's a fair thing to say. And I was thinking about the best way to kind of describe how USB microphones that are out the box ready compared to something like the SM7B. And I think, I don't know whether we had a chat about this off mic, Nick, but I feel like we've had a similar chat at some point. Like, the great thing about the SM7B is that it sounds amazing, right? But it takes some knowledge of sound to get the best out of it, in my opinion. Like, it's like a welding tool, innit? It's probably the best thing for sticking two bits of metal together. But if you don't know how to weld, you can't get the best out of it. Do you know what I mean? Like, useless, I'd probably end up burning the place down, right? So But with the SM7B, I feel like some of the out-of-the-box functions are pretty cool if you don't know what you're talking about. Like, so, if you don't know what you're talking about,
on
you
the,
just
on
don't
the
know
MV7,
what you're doing. Yeah, on the MV7, my bad.
Yeah.
Did I say SM7B?
You did indeed, but I knew what you meant, mate. You know, right, the MV7, cool. You can literally take it out and plug it straight in.
Exactly, and it comes with this app that I'm on now, and Gadgets Boy came on the show and spoke about it a little bit as well, but I'll talk through it again. So the app is called Motive, and it's by Shure, and basically, you can use it to control the microphone. Now, there's loads of settings on manual, which I'll talk about in just a sec, where... Whoopsie, that was me pressing buttons. Which I'll talk about.
You've done something.
I've done it. Which I'll talk about in just a sec, where you can get really into it. But the main settings, you can just have stuff like, so it's on near now, on far. I'm going to put it on near. So this is going to sound quieter when my mouse a bit further away. But when I get closer, this is me getting a bit more intimate and close to it. So this is for near. Mm. If I want to sound more radio-like, you want to get right in your ear holes, yeah. I'll stick it back on far. And then it also has tone, dark, natural, and bright. So dark will kind of pick up the lower end. And I feel like it's also limiting and cutting off my like plosives. Yeah, it's kind of like dipping a little bit with some compression. Natural is natural and bright should really bring out the top end of it as well. And then I can also mute the mic.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role. Like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedy-ad-free. That's amazon.com/comedy-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Yeah, when I turn that off and on again. And then in terms of the manual settings, this is where you can get really into it. So you can fiddle around with getting a high pass on it, which basically cuts off all the low end. You can mess around with the compression, which I can talk about what compression does, but let me just turn it all the way up. This is it really compressed. So
all the way up.
All the way up, which kind of just makes the quiet bits of my voice sound louder. So I might leave it like that for a little bit, you know. Oh, I kind of like that still.
From a listener's perspective, and the people listening to can probably hear that this as well. It's kind of also brought up the background noise
indeed.
Of your room.
Indeed.
So I can hear a bit more kind of, I don't know if hiss is the right word, but there's just a little bit more background.
Yes, it's the fan on my MacBook because it's trying to take off at the moment.
Yeah,
that's what it is.
Mine does that all the time as well. It's mad annoying.
What else does this do? Oh, so yeah, like Nick said, it's got buttons on the top, which means I can mute it as well. Let me tap that. There we go. So you can adjust stuff like that. You can adjust the microphone level, the headphone level as well. So you can plug your headphones into this. So you literally have a headphone jack in the back and a mic. Plug your headphones into it. Plug the mic into your computer and you're good to go. Nick, I think there's a very clear difference between what this can do out of the box and what the SM7B can do out of the box. And the price is also different as well. The SM7B, you're looking at about £350 approximately. And this is around £220 or £200 if you get the silver one at the moment. So it's £222 at the moment for the black one, which does look kind of cool anyway. There are some other differences as well, aren't there, Nick? I suppose with regards to what you can do, you, for example, have got a desk there. You've got your mic plugged in. You've got loads of EQ on it. You've even got special effects, right? Sound effects, right?
Yeah, I can play some.
You've got no friends.
Just play some stupid sound effects if you want. I don't know why I would ever use that. But fun to mess around with when you're just, you know, recording podcasts exactly. and goofing around.
And I ain't got any of that now. I can't do that, really. I don't know. I probably could have to find out some software and find a way of doing it. But I always kind of like doing that with hardware. Something you mentioned before we press record as well, Nick, about the headphone out on the MV7 as well.
Yeah, so my main issue when I used it for this voiceover is at the moment I'm using my SM7B, which is plugged into a desk, and I can control the microphone through the desk, which is the same thing that you were hearing those sound effects from as well. And then it's obviously got headphone volume, which I can turn up and down, and I can hear myself great at the moment. But what I found when I plugged my headphones into the MV7 was, even though on the top of the microphone, like you said, there's some functionality to turn your headphones up or down, as well as the microphone level, I had the headphones on max, and they were just really, really quiet. So I don't know whether that's me being an idiot and I hadn't set it up right or whatever, but they were really, really quiet. And also, I think,
yeah,
I think companies now that make USB microphones, that maybe there's somebody out there that's done this already. I don't even know. I haven't even researched it, but I'm just going to say what my gripe is. And it's that now we all want wireless, don't we? Everything's wireless, 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 you know?
Yeah.
And I think it would be a great time for people who want to stream and do stuff like that if they had the ability to connect to the microphone wirelessly with earpods or, you know, some kind of earbuds or whatever. Because then you can sit back on your chair, you can put the MV7 in, what was it, far mode?
Distance far mode.
Yeah, you could put it in far mode, and you can just sit back in your chair with your earpods in, and you're not tethered to anything, you know. And my issue was I still felt tethered, and I know that sounds stupid because at the moment I am tethered with wired headphones into my broadcasting desk here, but like, I don't know, I just thought having such a good out the box USB microphone, if you'd have put a feature on there so it had the ability to connect to wireless earphones of some kind, it would have been amazing, and that would be a superior product. Obviously that would probably impact the price as well, the price would go up, but like you said, they've still got £100 to play with in difference between the MV7 and the SM7B anyway, so like, you know, if it's going to cost you £100 more to have a USB version of an SM7B but you can connect to it wirelessly with your headphones, I feel like that's an amazing product myself.
I think you're onto something there, you know. Imagine that out the box, they said, we will connect to your AirPods with no fuss. That's been one of the biggest issues we've had, not in making the AirPods connect to a computer and stuff, but we've found that when we're doing things like remote recording, using whatever websites people use, when you try and use your AirPods to monitor and then use the microphone, like a professional microphone or a plug-in microphone, there's always either a delay or something stops working, or you have to reset it before you go. So that would be fascinating. If you're listening, sure, get your boys in development to do that. That would kick ass. And I think if they could have the same sound quality as the MV7, and do that as well, like you said, mate, if the price was a little bit more, I think that would be a winner. Because I've been using a pair of wireless headphones when I'm using my PS5. Yeah, little humble brag there. Man's got PS5.
No, wow, but I mean, okay. How many people did you kill to get that, mate? You know what I mean? Jeez.
By the way, do you know Microsoft said they're going to start making chips for all their competitors to help them get their consoles, because there's like a shortage of chips. That's why everyone ain't getting their PS5 yet. Quite nice of them. Didn't say how much they were going to charge, though. But yeah, anyway, sorry.
He's out here, though, with his flexing, you know what I mean? Bragging about it on How to Kill an Hour. You better watch out, though, because any of your friends who know where you live, mate, now they've Leap heard you say that. Yeah, they might pop round.
Well, luckily I'm remote now, innit? MV7 style, so I could be at any part of the country. But what was I saying? Oh, yeah, so yeah, wireless headphones I use when I'm gaming. And before, I used to just plug my headphones into the bottom of the controller, which was cool. But you feel so free, Nick, when you haven't got leads on you. Do you know what I mean?
It's liberating.
Like, oh, it's liberating, so liberating.
I remember the first pair of Bluetooth headphones I got when I got an iPhone 10 way back. Because obviously that was the... I think they had it before, but the iPhone 10 came out and it didn't have a headphone. Was it the iPhone 10? Whichever one was the first one that didn't have the headphone jack anyway. And I had it. And I think it might have been the 7, you know.
Yeah, I think it is actually, as well. Yeah, bro. Yeah, yeah.
Because I was in my, I got it in Miami. I got the 7 in Miami. So I flew to Miami with my old iPhone and just had normal headphones, which plugged into it. And then it came out when I was in Miami. So I copped it there. And then when I flew home, because obviously it's cheaper in the States as well. That's why I bought it there. When I flew home, I got to the airport and then I was about to go through into the departure lounge. Went to plug my headphones into the phone and I'm like, bro, there's no headphone, there's no jack. And I'm like, I'm not getting on this 8-hour flight with no flipping music. Forget that. So I had to buy, I think I bought Beats headphones in the airport. And I just remember like just thinking, this is the life. I can swing my phone around in my hand and there's nothing like this is the, so that's the point I'm trying to make, you know, and you make it really well there, because even though you were just plugging into your PS4 controller before, or PS5 controller, whichever one you were using, it's still wired and, you know, giving you wireless functionality. I feel like that's the future for everything. You know, the minute they can make wireless microphones that just, you know, you don't even need a wire for that, it's gonna be sick.
100%, 100%, 100%. And I think a big worry in a professional environment has been having loads of wireless mics. But if we stay in this kind of scenario where everyone's recording from home, that's not an issue in terms of like radio signals like crossing over. So I make you right, man. Right. Listen, I want that. I want 5% sure when you bring out that microphone that me and Nick have been talking about. You get me? Also, yeah. Nick, humble brag, man flew to Miami just to get a phone. Okay.
No, mate.
Okay.
I didn't get you've misinterpreted the story.
Deliberately. Go on.
Not just to get a phone. I was there on holiday. Otherwise, the £50 you save on the phone, flying to Miami costs more than £50, put it that way.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Ultimate hype beast for phones. Man had to get on a flight just to get that device. But yeah, man. So yeah, in short, if you want my professional opinion on the MV7, I'd say it's a great microphone if you're a streamer, if you're wanting to get into podcasting. Have a play with the settings to make sure you're getting the best out of your environment. The far setting is probably the one that's going to work if you don't want your microphone all up in the place when you're doing Zoom calls or when you're doing streaming. It's not got the same capabilities as the SM7B, but at this price range, an XLR and USB mic, which has a headphone jack on it, I'd be surprised if it did. It wouldn't make sense. Do you know what I mean? They'd be losing money. Mm. So yeah, it's a great starter price microphone, really, with some extra functionality. Do you know what I mean? So yeah, it's a good all-rounder. And I like it. You can hear us on the podcast. We're probably going to put a little bit less processing on the edit for this than we usually do, just so you can hear what it's like out of the box.
And you know, like you say, I think for a USB microphone, back in the day, before I accumulated all my equipment and stuff like that, if this microphone was on the market back then, I probably would have just bought that. And maybe would have saved myself a hell of a lot of money, although I love my equipment and it is needed. But, you know, at the start, you're just looking for the cheapest possible way to do things a lot of the time. And if I could have just bought one thing, that microphone, to do those jobs, I probably would have done that. So I'm sure a lot of people are going to be purchasing that microphone. And also because of the legacy that it has from its big brother, the SM7B, you know what I mean? That microphone alone,
yeah, man,
it sells on reputation because people see it in a lot of videos, but equally because it is, in my opinion, in its price range, and also for microphones above its price range, one of the best microphones I've ever used.
Yeah, man. Yeah, because we've used some proper, you know, pricey ones. I mean, I've used microphones I don't think I'd buy because I'm like, yeah, allow spending that much on a mic.
Yeah, but like over £1,000, £2,000 microphones and all of that. And I just think, I hear this SM7B and I'm like, this is providing like a rich tone that I don't hear with some of them other microphones. Obviously, it's hard because in a lot of the places that I use those microphones, it's normally professional broadcast studios where there's a hell of a load of processing on the mic. So a lot of the time you don't actually hear the mic stand alone.
Yeah.
But, you know, I just think sometimes it gets a bit silly, doesn't it? You know, microphone prices. It turns into a bit of like, how much do you want to spend to say that I spent this much for a microphone? Whereas you can spend, what was it, 300 and something quid for an SM7B. And this microphone absolutely handles everything that I throw at it, man.
I think there's a point when you're doing your work where you have to realize that you're a talent as well, innit? Like, if you're doing stuff, like, you can have £1,000 microphone, and if your content's dead, it's dead, innit? Do you know what I mean? I don't, if you're not having to broadcast in certain situations. So, yeah, I think you're 100% you're right, man. Do you know what I mean? I think
I think it just turns into a bit of a, like, you know, between, it's almost like the microphones, right, are almost like the car kind of, you know, people that are like, my car's better than your car, blah, 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 because it costs this much money. Blah. Mm. For audiophiles, that's almost what microphones are. Yeah, it's you know, I bought this microphone, it cost me £5,000. And it's like, well, yeah, but it sounds the same as my one, which cost me £350. So, like, yeah, but it cost me £5,000. And everybody needs to know that it cost me £5,000.
Like, so, man. Like, listen, you could have a great microphone, but if you can't sing, you can't sing. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, don't say that. I haven't given up on my dreams yet of becoming, you know,
opera.
Yeah, Britain's next pop superstar, mate. You know, I was hoping for that.
Well, we'll see. Nick, by the way, quick fact about the SM7B. I reckon you might know this fact already. Do you know it's the same type of microphone that Michael Jackson used to record Thriller? There you go.
There
was it SM7B? Or is it SM7, I think it was, but whatever.
Yeah.
The B stands for black.
Yeah, I mean, there you have it. If it was good enough for Michael Jackson on Thriller, produced by Quincy Jones, then it's good enough for me talking shit in my spare bedroom. So.
There you go. There you go. Anyway, other ways we've been killing time. This is another thing that we both done, Nick. We tried out a new type of shopping, and if we could defeat the system that was in front of us, we could have potentially stolen from one of the richest companies in the world, Nick Bright. Am I right in thinking
that? This is true. Yeah, 100%. You're, of course, talking about Amazon as that company. Mr. Jeff Bezos, his company, they've opened a shop in West London, in Ealing in West London. And I went down there a couple of weeks back, actually. I actually went there before Mr. How to Kill an Hour himself, who is based in the West London, Northwest London area, whereas I'm based in the East London area. But one day I just thought, you know what, I'm just going to drive there because there's nothing else to do in this world now. And I was quite lucky, actually. When you went, what was it? Did you have to queue to get in and all of that stuff? Because when I went, I just walked straight in. There was no queue. There was kind of like people outside, all like curious as to what's going on and what it is. But nobody was in the queue, so I just bopped straight in.
I think the downside of me not going there first was I didn't go there first, Nick. But the good side was that I went a couple of days after you, and I think the hype had died down a little bit. So it was like one person was in front of me in the queue. And they kind of were going in as I walked up. And then that was it. I went in and had a go. So, yeah. But anyway, what is this, Nick?
So it works really, really well. Amazon Fresh, of course, is their it's Amazon's grocery line. So this is a physical store that's opened up. And a lot of people might have seen this already online or saw that the idea was being touted about stores that don't have tills, essentially, or cash registers. Mm-hmm. They have obviously staff working there to monitor things and make sure everybody's okay and replenish the shelves and all of that stuff. But they don't have the usual, you know, go to the front, all queue up, scan all your stuff, put it in bags. That's all gone. So what happens is you get a QR code using the Amazon app on your phone, and then there's these barriers at the front of the store. You literally scan the QR code, you walk in, and then here's the clever part. You can just pick up whatever you want, right? You don't even need it, because people were like, oh, do you need a special bag? Like, you can pick up a carrier bag because they have them there and they charge you 10p or whatever it is to use a carrier bag, but you don't need one. There's no special bags. You can literally pick stuff up, put it straight in your pocket, under your jacket, under your hat, into your sock. You can put it wherever you want, right? Into your boxers, in your bra, you know, you can put this stuff wherever you want.
Yeah.
And then once you've like picked up all the stuff you want, you just literally, and I mean this as the actual meaning of the word, you literally walk out of the store. That's it.
Yeah.
And then within 10 minutes or so, you get emailed a receipt of exactly what it is that you've picked up and taken. It's amazing.
Yeah, it's a fascinating idea. And we actually covered its latest iteration of before it came to actually be on How to Kill an Hour in like 2016, just after the show had launched. Amazon had said that they had this idea originally in like 2012, and a whole thing around it, Nick, was what would it be like if you walked into a store, grabbed what you wanted, and just left? And it took 8 years for them to get there, but In terms of an experience, it's I'll talk a bit more about my experience as well, because I really stress tested it. It's fascinating just to, for starters, just to be so kind of liberated, right? It's a bit weird, isn't it?
Yeah, you feel like you're stealing stuff, or like, because well, you're so conditioned to be like, you know, unless you're a thief and you're listening to this, you're so conditioned to have a basket or a trolley, yeah, and then pick up your stuff, put it in there, so everybody sees you're doing the thing that you're meant to do.
Yeah.
When actually, if we're being honest, this is going to sound like I am in by no means promoting crime or trying to tell anybody to commit crime, but to put stuff in your pocket in a supermarket, in a big supermarket, it's actually quite easy.
Yep.
Like, you know what I mean? But it's that guilt and that kind of fear that keeps us from doing it. And I feel like when you're in the Amazon store, even though you're allowed to do that, it was still there a little bit for me. Like, I think there's like a security guard and stuff in there. Obviously, like, because they've got to do certain health and safety things, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I just felt like sometimes I felt like a bit weird and uneasy and on edge about like putting stuff in my pockets. But then I had to keep reminding myself, no, bro, you're allowed. You're allowed to do this.
Yeah. Whereas I'm a thief. So I was just like really disappointed. There was no pressure, no edge to me nicking.
Marcus was just like beefing with the security guard on purpose.
Yeah. You want like, some? Come on.
Because that's what he's used to when he goes to Tesco. Yeah. The only danger is now if you get so used to doing that in the Amazon store and then you quickly nip into like Sainsbury's local or something and you just forget. Like, people are going to be like, yo, bro, what are you doing? Because you're just brazenly, you're not even doing it like on the sly.
Oh,
you're just brazenly banging things in your pocket.
It's mad. It's a fascinating experience. The technology behind it is they've not kind of unlocked what is exactly going on. But did you look up when you were in the shop, Nick?
I didn't look up, but I saw some articles kind of talking about it. But like you said, they were very vague. And all the articles said is kind of they used sensor technology and cameras in the ceiling. That's it. I forgot to look up when I was in there, even though I'd read that article before I went. But I was too engrossed like concentrating on not fearing for my liberty.
That's all right. You can have a look at the YouTube video that we're going to put up about this to see the cameras. But there's is that a nice plug?
Yeah, lovely.
Seems. Thank you very much. We pointed the camera at the ceiling and it was just saturated with cameras and sensors. Like, I don't know. If you've not been in a television studio, you might not get this, but just imagine looking up and seeing like a row. Imagine like a row of cameras just going in a line, but they're all squeezed next to each other. And then next to that row, there's another row of sensors and another row of cameras. It's like the whole ceiling was tiled with devices that are there to track you. And I figure what it does is Amazon didn't know what I looked like. It's not Facebook. It's not Snapchat. It's not Insta. So I figured that they must scan us when we come in. And then the scanning system must track you around. Kind of like when you tap on a face when you're taking a picture with an iPhone and that little box goes around it. I figure that they're doing that on your face and doing that on all the products while you're in there.
Face recognition, yeah.
Yeah, so face recognition and tracking products for you as well. And here's what was crazy, right? I came in with other people and I could scan them in as well. So I use my barcode.
I was thinking about this the other day, like, because I went by myself, innit? So I was like, yeah, that makes sense. But I thought, what if you've got like kids and you go in the store with kids, or you're with your other half and they don't have Amazon accounts? How did that work?
So how you go in, just like Nick said, like you said, that you scan your barcode, get that up on your Amazon UK app. Not the Amazon Fresh one from America like everyone does, or I did. And you kind of scan it and then let your mate walk through. You scan them, they walk through, then you scan yourself last and you walk in. And here's
so
how
they're on your account. I see, that's how it's done. Right.
So they're on my tab.
Right. Yeah. So if you scanned me and I'll just be taking everything.
Yeah, like champagne section.
You can only take trustworthy friends to this, you know what I mean? If you take them scumbag friends you've got, they'll be loading up.
Exactly. And we kind of stress tested it. I was with two other people, the cameraman and someone that was assisting him. And we literally were like spending time walking all around the shop, picking stuff up, putting stuff back, because, you know, I wanted to see, like, you know, is it going to accidentally charge me for anything? And I picked up 5 pepperamis, right, in a pack to look at, and accidentally one of them ripped and fell off to the side. So I was like, all right, let me see what happens. So I put that in my bag and put the 5th one into my bag as well. Then we went around. There's like meal deals in there. Like the pricing's kind of just like regular convenience store pricing as well, isn't it? It's not mad.
Yeah.
Expensive. So yeah, we got like a meal deal. I got a coffee from a coffee machine. I think I picked up something and handed it to my mate. They picked up something, handed it to me. I put it back on the shelf. Everything. And I was so. And then when you walk out, it's like literally. Fine. And when I got the receipt, I was so smug. We were filming. I was like, oh, we've accidentally got an extra chicken sandwich. And then I looked down at the receipt again, and it was like, chicken sandwich times two. I was like, oh, fuck. It tracked us. I was surprised at how accurate it was. And one of the measurements that it had, which was really interesting, is it showed us how long we'd been in the store to the exact second as well. It was like 30 minutes and 42 seconds. I was like, oh, so Amazon must know how long I was looking at that can of baked beans for before I put it back. They must know that I kind of was like, you know, I looked at some vegan stuff maybe because I'm thinking about going vegan. The amount of data that they'll get off you from your shopping experience would be insane.
Yeah. And that's what a lot of people fear, isn't it? Yeah. So there'll be people out there listening to this who will think to themselves, that's the last place on earth that I will want to go to. Because look, you know, at the end of the day, I don't think like that. You know, I'm cool about going in places and CCTV and blah, blah, blah. But I understand that people don't necessarily like the invasion. And I get that, especially when big tech companies are concerned, you know, like the likes of Facebook and Amazon and all of that. But, you know, I just thought, what would these companies want with me? Like, you know, this is why the whole, I don't want to get political at all, but this is why the whole vaccine thing at the minute is like a bit of a weird one for me, because, you know, when people are saying the government are trying to track you, bro, I'm like, do they give a shit that I'm sitting here recording How to Kill an Hour with Marcus Bronzy, and then I might go to Tesco Express, you know, and then I might go to the park? Do you really think like MI5 are sitting there going, we got him, he's in the park, he's moved from the park? Like, they're not trying to track you and me, bro, you know? So
yeah, exactly.
Just go to the Amazon store and enjoy it.
Exactly. I have a laugh of it. Yeah, try it out, man. Like, and they've got another one that's opened up in Wembley now. I don't know how long they're going to be there for, but it didn't look like a little market store. It looked pretty permanent.
I mean, I'd be surprised if it's not something they're looking to roll out across the whole of the UK eventually, you know. Like, obviously a lot of these things do start in London, but it's interesting that they've opened two in London but quite close together. Like Wembley and Ealing
best
aren't that
London,
far away from each other.
Yeah, London,
you would say that, but you would think something like that, if they were really trying to go for the hype, they would open it in like East London, where I live.
You can't not go too trendy, Nick. You can't go too trendy.
Can I just say that the part of East London that I live in is not the like hype beast part of East London. It's not the Dalston, Shoreditch, you know, Hoxton areas.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Fascinating, man. We'll see, man. Like I said, I stress tested it and it seemed to just work. And yeah, I'm probably going to start getting served adverts from Amazon to, you know, offer me chicken wraps or coffees at certain times of day. Who knows? I will let you know about that as well. And I guess, to be fair, I'm used to that data being out there really anyway. And I'm, you know, it's just, I feel like, you know, if you use Instagram, if you use Facebook, if you use a social media, loads of your data's out there anyway. Do you know what I mean? So, you know, but if you're not feeling too paranoid, go and give it a go, man. It was a good bit of fun. Also drove a getaway car there, which was the Toyota Supra. They sent us the new version of it. It's flipping hell, Nick. I'm not the cariest car guy. And there's a couple of cars that I've driven and I've not realized their status in the car game. And
Supra's up there, bro.
Supra's like, she's like Old Faithful, isn't it? Like, she's like a classic. So when Toyota was like, yeah, we got this new Supra coming out, I was like, all right, I'll have a go on that. That looks pretty cool. And yeah, they dropped it to us and I was just like, oh, rah, this is a proper sporty whip. And it's probably, I'll be honest, the only car I've got more nods in driving from like random drivers was the Mustang that I drove. Yeah, because it's a Mustang, isn't it?
Mustang.
Not even the Mach-E Mustang, like when I drove the petrol, you know, the 5 litre thing that you can hear coming. When I was in this Supra driving around, it got a couple of, you know, do you call it the nod as well, Nick, when guys go, yeah, yeah,
give you a little nod.
You can feel it though, you know, when you're driving a nice car. Like you can just feel that. This is how I imagine like people that have got like proper, you know, supercars feel daily, you know, people that have got Lambos and all of that stuff. But like when they're driving around, they must know that like literally 90% of the people they're going near are all looking, unless they live in Dubai, where like even if you're somebody as lowly as me, you can afford a Lamborghini.
Yeah, man, it was kind of like that, but it was like, it was less intense, but when people saw it, it was more of an intense response. So I could drive past some people that weren't into cars, I presume, and they'd see it and be like, oh, that's a nice car. And then I would like be sitting there and a guy would be like, whoa, yeah. And I was like, right, okay. It was the Supra GR 2 litre though, which was the, it's like the diet version of it, isn't it? It's not the 3 litre, 6 valve jobby, which I was cool with because I'm, like I said, I'm not the cariest car guy. And I figured, everyone's asking like, why did Supra do that? And I figured the simple reason was, is that like, you've now made the car more accessible to people, like, because it's a little bit cheaper. We'll put the pricing in the link in the description. And it, I think it's got a slightly smaller engine. It's a little bit easier to insure if you're a younger kid. Do you know what I mean? Maybe not your first car, I'd say. But, you know, if you're a young man, if you're like in your 24s, 25s, and you want something that's a little bit whippy, it's the one, mate. Sticks to the ground. I'll tell you that for free.
Let me tell you, car insurance is one of the biggest shags ever, still to this day. I was talking to someone about this the other day. I was talking, like, can you remember when you got your first car? When I passed my test, I think I was like 19.
Yeah.
Thing
yeah.
And car, I had something like 1.4 Peugeot 106 XSI, and the insurance at the car cost me something like £300, and the insurance was over a grand.
Yeah, man.
And then I remember people saying to me, oh yeah, but when you turn 25 your insurance goes down loads. I turned 25, insurance still expensive. Then people said, yeah, but when you turn 30, insurance go down loads. Turn 30, insurance is still expensive. I'm like, when is this gonna go down? Like, why is it our generation always getting shafted with the house prices, with the car insurance? What is this? The generation before us, like my parents now, their car insurance is like £50 or some mad shit like that, you know, and they could buy a house back in the day for a tenner. You know, now it's like, fucking got to shell out £1,000 for car insurance and fucking half a million quid for a 2-bedroom flat in zone 4. It is fucking mental. Anyway.
Oh, the grown cast is in effect. I love it, Nick. Do you know what it is?
It's just a fact.
But do you know what it is, though? It's like, it's, well, to be fair, if you want your insurance to be cheaper, you just have to be a woman, Nick. So I know I'm saying it like that's a really flippant thing you can go and do as quickly as making a cup of tea. That would help instantly. Other than that, mate, I don't know what to do. I think young men, or even men that are over 30, we're just not favourable, mate. We're not safe. Old men, we're just not favoured.
Tell you what I never do. These insurance companies that want to bang a box in your car, I'm
forget
like,
that.
Bro,
you lot can
get lost.
No chance.
I'm out here keeping to the speed limit, if you know what I mean. You know, yeah, so man. Like, I don't want no box in my car.
Yeah, man. I'm not having that at all. That is
forget
not
that.
The one.
This is when I do turn into one of those Amazon conspiracy theorist dudes.
I'm like that, and like the smart meters as well. I'm like, yeah, I'm all right for that, mate. Thank you very much for my smart meter.
This meter's not as smart as me, mate. You know what I mean? Coming in my house.
Yeah, man. Yeah, no, 100%, man. 100%. But yeah, it was a very interesting drive. Very low car. I'm 6'3", so I have to be honest with you. Nice car. You would get much enjoyment watching me get in and get out of that car, Nick. Mm-hmm. The noises I would make getting in and out of it, and also the couple of times I ended up on the floor, were probably quite hilarious to everyone but me. They might make it into the YouTube video as well. But when you're in there, when you're driving around, bruv, it's nice to have that kind of sporty feel, man. It's a good drive. Notoriously has a lot of bits that come from BMW. So it's got like the same kind of onboard computer as it's M-Drive, I think it is. People say it's all right, but I just want CarPlay nowadays. Just give me my Apple screen in my car, please.
It's so true. Yeah. Like now cars are all developing these systems and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah,
but
right,
for young people anyway, I don't know what, and that feels like a mad generalization, but I kind of feel like if my dad had, you know, a car that had like one of those systems, he would just use that system. But like people my age and below, we're just looking for the USB port to get the Apple screen or the Android screen on that screen in the car, you know.
Exactly. I just want it, and now I want it wireless as well, because you can get wireless CarPlay as well. Give me that. I chuck my phone onto the wireless charger, get my tunes pumping, let me listen to How to Kill an Hour podcast as well, because I'm narcissistic like that. Let's crack on. Do you know what I mean? So yeah, in terms of a vehicle, man, it was a head turner, nice whip. Yeah, man, that was a Supra 2.2 liter. It was a very whippy car, man. I can see now how people can get really into cars. And also, one more fact about it, it's got the perfect weight distribution for a car, which means it sticks to the floor, so it's great for drifting and having full control. Apparently. Because man ain't really a drifter out here, Nick. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Sure. Anyway, before we get out of here, one more other thing that I tried as well. I had got my hands on these trainers from Drop Labs. Actually, you know what? Fuck it, Nick. I'll talk about that in another podcast, mate. We're coming up on 55 minutes here. But yeah, that was it, man. I mean, when it comes to driving, I'm a convenience man. I like nice things, but I'm also a convenience man. I want my car to drive. Obviously, I want it to work, as in I don't want to have a car that I'm worried about breaking down, so it's got to be new. And I just want to feel like driving is a pleasurable experience, because especially being in London, driving can be very highly stressful when there's traffic, lots of beeping and all that kind of stuff. And I feel like being in a vehicle that is relaxing and calming helps with that. Do you know what I mean? And it was a cool, calm drive, man. I felt like, yeah, it was nice. Very wide, though. I didn't feel good going through the width restrictions, man. May or may not have scuffed the rim, you get me? But yeah, man, it was cool loving that. But I mean, what about you? What do you want to get out of a drive when you drive a car, Nick? Apart from getting to your destination?
I want it to be fun and feel fun. Mm. But for me now, this is going to sound so pointless because, like you say, the main reason that we all get in a car is to get from A to B. But I want to be entertained in a way by the infotainment system in the car, essentially. You know, and a lot of car manufacturers now are, this is a big thing. So Mercedes, I don't know if you've seen in their kind of new A classes, new CLA class as well, they've got a thing called the MBUX system. And it's a full digital dash, basically. There's two, depending on what model you've gone for and the specification of that model, there's two 10.5-inch screens next to each other. One is your instrument cluster, you know, with speedo and blah blah blah. The one next to that is your like media, navigation, settings for the car, all of that. And I just nerd out with that stuff, man. And in the new A-Class as well, if you get the Premium Plus model, don't work for Mercedes, promise, but if you get the Premium Plus model, you can get ambient lighting in the car.
Yes.
Over 64 different colors you can have.
Someone's read the manual, boy.
Yeah, trust me. And it's just sick. It's just sick, you know. I think it's just... you know, I want my car to look a little bit like a spaceship when I get into it.
Hey, listen, call it what it is, man. Yeah. And also, it's got to be, like, I don't know about you, it's got to be a comfortable drive. I don't want to get out of a car feeling like I've had a fight with it. You know what I mean? So, but yeah. All right, cool. Well, like, listen, all right, now that you've put your order in, Nick, we'll make sure we'll get you a car that's of similar spec to that then, yeah?
Yeah, get it sorted.
Nice one, mate. Anyway, look, we've almost hit an hour now, so I think it's about time we wrap up things. Where should we look for you on the internet, Nick?
Probably the best place is just Instagram, innit? Just my name. Mm-hmm. No underscores or ones or, you know, any of that stuff. It's just Nick Bright on Insta.
And don't do what I do if you look for Nick Bright on Twitter as well and keep fucking tweeting the wrong one. He needs to just give you his handle, you know, instead of smugly going,
what's happened, wrong Nick. So there's a Nick Bright. There's an @ Nick Bright on Twitter because I'm @ Nick Bright DJ on Twitter. But on Insta, I'm just @ Nick Bright.
Yeah, all right.
But this guy, he just always forwards. I mean, to be fair to him, he always forwards on the messages. He's like, "Think this is for you, @ Nick Bright DJ." And then the last time you actually said, you tweeted him, didn't you, saying like, "How much for the handle?" Or like, "Give up the handle." And then he just didn't reply to your tweet.
I realised it might have come across a bit aggressive. I was like, just give him your handle, man. Stop messing around, bruv.
But he didn't reply to it, which I thought was quite harsh. He just aired you like that, mate. You know, especially because I'm sure previously he said he was a fan of the show.
Did he? No way. Really? Oh, well, Nick, if you're hearing me say this, man, give him your flipping handle. Right, yeah, me. But yeah, man. All right, you can find me @ Marcus Bronzy, MarcusBronzy. Yeah, I'm on Instagram as well. I'm also starting to do TikToks as well, but I'm not. I repeat, not dancing on the timeline like a bad bee.
Yeah, you can do the TikTok thing. You know, you have that.
You've not seen, you've clearly not seen it because I'm doing TikTok in a way that you would appreciate. Yeah? You go on it and I'm doing.
Yeah, I go on it. I see you doing the flipping silhouette challenge and all of that bollocks that the kids are doing.
I was going to do that like a parody one and just like hang something between my legs like a football sock filled with fruit and veg.
If you were going to do it, you should have done it with the Supra. You know what I mean? You could have had it like a silhouette of like a mini Metro or something, and then like
switched it up
when the light came on. Bam, Supra right there.
That's the one, man.
See, Toyota, this is why you need to be giving me cars. You know what I mean? Come on.
Soon come, Nick Bright. I think so. All right. Well, thank you very much for killing some time with us. Instead of our usual outro music, I would like Nick to select a sound effect of his choice to finish the show.
Really,
and we'll
many.
See you next time. Or you
I
can just press a few of them together.
Right, okay. Let's go for just go for a load of them. What else have I got? Wait, that's it's not over. Oh, I've done that already. Right. Peace out, people.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.